in the book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of lessons out of 2 Samuel. So get close to your radio now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Book of 2 Samuel. Where can 2 Samuel be found? Amen. The obvious answer, behind 1 Samuel. Amen. Over in the Old Testament. We're working our way through the Bible, and we are now at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. And we've discovered as we were studying 1 Samuel that 1 Samuel has three personalities. You can divide the book of 1 Samuel into three personalities. You had who? Samuel. Then you had Saul. And then you had David. Now, when we come to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel can be divided into one personality, and that's just David. David, we're going to study the life of David as relates to leadership. Leadership. So as you, if you want to learn about leadership, 2 Samuel is a good book. It's a good book to study regarding leadership. And you will discover one principle. You make good decisions, good things will happen. If a leader makes bad decisions, bad things will happen. Everybody in this room is a leader. You are a leader, whether you want to be a leader or not. You are a leader. You say, well, I don't lead nobody. Well, you're leading yourself. Hey, hello, somebody. And if you make you mad, just can't nobody tell me what to do. I mean, but not y'all right here. You know, the folks that you know. Amen. All right. But 2 Samuel, we're going to look at the life of David. The life of David as it relates to leadership. Now, keep in mind, we've already looked at about 17 years so far of the life of David. We've already looked at about 17, pretty close. You can say, some people say about 14 years. Some people say 15 years. Some people say 16. It all depends on how old you think David was when he killed Goliath. If you go that David was about 13, then we done looked at 17 years of David's life. If you would say that David is about 17 years old, he was a high schooler, well, we done looked at about 13 years of his life. But either way it goes, David done been on the run. David hadn't had no real good easy life up until this point, hadn't he? He hadn't been sitting around the pool of Jerusalem eating fried chicken every day and drinking Kool-Aid and having servants waiting on him, had he? David been on the run out in the woods for over 10 years. And so now David comes to the point of where Saul has died. That's where we pick up the book of 2 Samuel starts with the death of Saul. That's where that's where this book of 2 Samuel begins. Keep in mind, whenever there's a death, that means God is up to something. That means that God is bringing about change. It's a new change. whenever there's a birth or a death, then God is bringing about something new. This is a new beginning. Whenever a baby come into this world, those parents' life, particularly if this is your first child, your life will never be the same. I remember when Miriam was pregnant with Timothy, our first child, and one of the deacons at the other church say, "Ooh wee," he said, "Once that baby get here, your life will never be the same." You know what I started telling? In this pregnancy, my life ain't never been the same. Hello, somebody. I didn't know that, and it made me mad at church. You know, when Sister Whipple, you know, sometimes she couldn't make it and whatever. People say, "Tell us, Sister Whipple, we praying for." I said, "What about me? What about me?" Amen. Because the doctor got to take her off her feet then, man, that was a lot of pressure on me. I had to start back cooking again. Hello, somebody. Oh, man, I tell you, that's another story. I was getting ready to tell you how I was the servant, the waiter, and everything. Oh, boy. All right, but we're finna look at David. And so now David gets the news that Saul is dead. Now, how did David respond when he heard this bad news that Saul was dead? Well, notice what the Bible says here in verse number 11. "Then David took hold of his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that was with him. And they mourned, they wept, they fasted until eve for Saul and Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord, and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword." All right, so did this bring David comfort? Now, you think about it now. Who just died? Saul, the one who's been trying to kill him for the last 13 years. Or 17 years, how many years you, it all depends, you know, on how old you think David was. But just think. For the last 10 years, David's been out there in the woods because Saul done had these demons in him and stuff, been acting crazy. You would have thought that David said, "Well, praise the Lord, now I can be king." But not David. You can see why God says he's a man after my own heart. Because even though a person is lost, do God want that person to go to hell? No. See, even the worst person, take for instance, let's say Hitler, Saddam Hussein, or Hitler, or somebody like that. God ain't rejoicing. The Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death, even of the wicked. You see, and so David didn't take no pleasure in hearing this. And a matter of fact, look at how David went on response. After David finished crying, guess what David did? After he finished wiping them tears, David said unto the verse number 13, said unto the young man that told him, "Whence art thou?" And he answered, "I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite." And David said unto them, "How was thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" I mean, you weren't scared to touch the Lord anointed? And David called one of the young men and says, "Go near and fall upon him." And he smote him that he died. So David said, all right. He went on and killed him. He got rid of him. Why? Because he messed with the Lord anointed. Now, if a person messed with the Lord anointed, they'll mess with anybody. Hello, somebody. And who was David? He was what? The Lord's anointed. Amen. Amen. What yet, Brother Howe? Amen. It looked like it came out from on high or something. I didn't see it kind of start scaring me up in here. Amen. Let me give. Whoo. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. I just heard a voice but didn't see it. I said, oh, no. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right. So we see David's sadness over Saul's death. That's what we see. That's the first thing that we see in chapter 1. We see David's sadness over Saul's death. Now, think about this. This man said he was an Amalekite. He was an Amalekite. Who did God, did God tell Saul to kill who? He said, I want you to go and I'm sending you on a mission to kill out all the Amalekites. But he didn't kill them all, did he? Now think about this. Because Saul didn't kill the Amalekites, it was an Amalekite that ended up killing Saul. Listen. This is the principle. When you don't destroy your sin will come back and destroy you. That's the principle. Whatever sin that you leave in your life, and you, because see, the thing is, it's not that God, see, a lot of times we say, I guess God ain't ready to take. No, God is ready to take it away. You won't let it go. God ain't no wrestle you down and take it away from you like that. No. God wants you. See, this is a love relationship kind of thing. And so you either going to be in love with your sin or you're going to be in love with God. And when you're in love with God, you hate the stuff that God hates, and you love what God loves. And so what we have to do is let go. And once we open up our hands and let it go, then God will come take it out. Amen. All right. And so we see that David here had this Amalekite destroy. Now, notice something else about David's sadness here. David began to lament over Saul. He began to sing a song over Saul. Look at verse 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his sons. Also, I'm at 17 and 18. 18. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. The beauty of Israel is slain. Here it is. Here's the song. The beauty of Israel is slain upon high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the street of Ekron. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gabor, let there be no dew, neither let there be no rain upon you, nor fields of offering, for there the shields of the mighty thou cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he has been anointed with oil. For the blood of the slain, for the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan was lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet and with other delights, who put ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in the high places. I am disgraced for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of a woman. How the mighty fallen and the weapon of war perish. Now look at that psalm good. Did you notice? Not one time did David badmouth his enemy. Look at how he referred to Saul, verse 19. The beauty of Israel is slain. The beauty of Israel is slain. The beauty of Israel is slain. What did they say about Princess Diana when she died? England princess. Actually, the princess of the world, the world princess, is dead. She's gone. Look at David is saying something good about Saul. And notice what David said. Don't go and tell it to Gath. That's a city in Philistine. Why is that? Don't let them know about it. Why is that? Who was Saul constantly running from? The Philistines. He was running from them Philistines. And Gath was the town that Goliath was from. And so he said, don't let them know about it because they're going to be happy. Isn't that something? David said, don't even go tell the other city because they're going to be happy over there. David really got a heart for people. He loved even his enemy. Do you see the Bible says love your enemy? This is how you do it. This is how you do it. This is how you do it. Don't rejoice when your enemy falls. Why is that? Because the Bible says God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sow it, that shall you also reap. So if you laugh at somebody when they fall, guess what's going to happen to you? When you fall, see, sometimes we say, I don't know why, you know, bad things happen to me like that. What kind of seed has you been planting? See, you could have planted some bad seeds 5 years ago that's just now coming to full crop. Hello, somebody. See, a lot of times we think because we done got saved when I came to the church that these bad things ain't gonna follow us. Hello, somebody. Consequences is coming up from the rear. Sometimes we got a wagon of consequences coming. Hello, somebody. That's why, even if you ain't saved, just live like you're saved. So that when you do get saved, you won't have all this other stuff to contend with. Hello, somebody. You know, sometimes, you know what the devil does? The devil mess us up so much out in the world that even when we do come to the Lord, it takes 10 years sometime before we can start serving the Lord, because a lot of times we are so in debt, it takes us 10, 15 years to get back out of debt. Hello, somebody. See, just because you got saved, they don't eliminate them credit cards debt. You got $50,000. Hello, somebody. So we see the heart of David. David's sadness over Saul's death. Not an unkind word. And, I mean, this is just an amazing psalm, how he talks about Saul. Verse number 21, he says he's mighty, the shield of the mighty. Look at verse 23, Saul and Jonathan was lovely and pleasant in life, and in their death they was not divided. Jonathan was a faithful son. He stayed with his daddy in life, and he stayed with him right there to the end. Now, that's a friend to the end. Amen. Matter of fact, David really loved Jonathan. David says, man, if I had to choose between a woman and Jonathan, give me Jonathan. We're not talking about no homosexuality here. Let me explain that right now. We're not talking about no homosexuality here. We're just talking about friendship. Oh, my goodness. Oh, y'all, we in church. Oh, my goodness. Man, I got to straighten up something like that right in church. Amen. I mind already done went to the down and low. All right. Amen. And David says, how the mighty fallen, my Lord. Amen. Amen. So David's sadness over Saul's death. Then we look at David's struggles with Saul's family. Now, when did we go to battle over in Iraq? When was that? 2002. Amen. March of 2002. When did we pull out? They just pulled out a couple of weeks ago, but they still got the, technically. But then President Bush, then he land on the plane, and then he fly in an airplane with a combat suit on and stuff, and he says, I'm here to make the announcement that combat operation done cease. And then they went on for how many years after that announcement? Went on from what? What was that? 2003 till now, 2007. Now, but when did they catch Saddam Hussein? I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Stay with me now. When did they catch Saddam Hussein? No, it didn't take them that long to catch him. Oh, somebody said I was there. Yeah, it was less than 2 years. It wasn't that long. It was about a little more than a year, right at 2 years. Now you think about this. They thought that Saddam Hussein was the problem. Was he the problem? Now you think, let's just give it the benefit of the doubt that the war started 2000, March 2002, and let's just say 2004, March 2004, they called it. 6 more years, we still fighting. So Saddam Hussein must not been the problem. It's a spirit of Saddam Hussein, that same kind of spirit. See, we fighting the spirit. It's just like today. If we pull out over there at Afghanistan, or we find, let's say, what's the guy name they supposed to have been looking for? They can't find. Bin Laden. Even we do find him, that's not going to stop what's happening over there. Why is that? Because there is a certain spirit, it's a certain culture, it's a certain mindset. Now, this is where I'm going. David's enemy, Saul, done been killed. But the fight's still going on. The struggle's still going on. Why is that? Because there are some folks out there that was loyal to Saul. Just like there are some folks that still loyal to Saddam Hussein and that kind of thinking. All right. When we look here at from chapter 2 to chapter 4, you see the struggle going on. You see, first of all, David is anointed king in Hebron. Verse number 4, the Bible says,
bread of life, sent down the Lord.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.